everybody, and welcome back to our weekly podcast, Hard Truth. My name is David Vance.
And I'm Alana Mercer.
And Alana, it's great to catch up with you again this week. And
lovely to see you. I always miss you.
Yeah, likewise at this end. We're so far apart in one way because you're pretty much in almost the other side of the world. But in many ways, we're very similar. So, hey, listen, Alana, we've got a couple of really interesting, complex topics to talk about tonight. And appropriately, one of them kind of is focused on something that's happened over here in Europe. And the other thing has happened in a place called California. So those are the two topics we're going to get to, folks. I hope you will enjoy them, whether you are listening to this or whether you're watching this. We're trying to bring you interesting content in a thoughtful and tough-minded manner, I guess. So let's go to the land of Vikings and ABBA. And that, of course, is Sweden.
Yeah. ABBA now looks like a Viking compared to what's happening. Yeah. You know, I mean, hardcore pop Eurovision winners, and look at the loser army that we are confronted with. Set the scene, David.
Well, yeah, and I do have to set the scene. In other words, I've been to Sweden several times. I'm a big ABBA fan. I have to confess, Alana.
Yes, me too.
Especially
Brilliant songwriters, brilliant songwriters.
Oh, they were. Absolutely. Great songwriters. But Agnetha knew how to swing a vocal. So let's put it like that. Did enjoy ABBA enormously. And when I went to Sweden, you know, they've got all their museums to the Vikings and to their warrior history. All of this stuff, Alana, which brings us really into the story, which if we put it up on the screen, folks, and then we will describe it for those listening. And the headline is Flag Worth Defending. The Swedish Army places front page newspaper ad ahead of Stockholm Pride, triggering debate online. So here, so this is essentially the story, folks, and Alana, that the Swedish Army apparently have paid for a pro LGBTQ plus ST.
Watch your language, David.
Yeah, I've got it.
Make sure you've got all the letters in there.
I know it's alphabet soup time, isn't it? But so they placed this ad with the soldiers standing under the rainbow flag, and it basically said the text was, Alana, a flag worth defending, which, and then in smaller print below that, we defend human rights, equality for all, and our right to live as we choose. And this is the Swedish military. Alana, what's your thoughts? What did you think when you saw this story?
You know, sometimes we bring up these topics so we can have a little bit of fun with this, but it always turns out to be really complicated, David, because life, liberty, property, borders, that is what a military is supposed to, that's the mandate of the military. So what really are we seeing here? What is this sexual exhibitionism? Life, liberty, my right to sexuality, to screwing. It's all very complicated. And some of the comments online show me that at least the youth, some people have reduced it to the politicization of an institution and the activism of the military, but it's far more than that, isn't it? What do you think about the purview of government? Young people are not taught to think about the role of government and what it is that it should represent and protect.
Well, you see,
the comments are very, very, oh, you're too old, you're a dinosaur. Yeah, but you're too stupid because you haven't been taught what rights are, young man or young girl, and what hierarchy is, what boundaries are between the private and the public. So this is quite a complicated issue, even though it seems you told me we're going to do something humorous and light. Well, is it really? What do you think?
Yeah. Well, you know, you're. I mean, it's multi-level, isn't it? I mean, superficially, yeah. There's a bit of, in a way, it's slightly here. It is humorous at one level, and it's intensely serious, and it's tragic, and it's horrific at another level. One of the things about Sweden, of course, is as a country, I mean, it's very left-wing. It's been very left-wing for a very long time as well.
Yes, in terms of sexually libertine, you know.
Yes.
As a girl growing up in Israel, I hate to say this, I always bring in, I think I'm of the age, both of us are of the age that we can bring in personal anecdotes from our past and the many countries we've lived in. And certainly as a girl growing up in Israel, we'd always have the volunteers come from Europe. And not that Israel was a very conservative country, but certainly the young men in my high school always waited for the Swedish volunteers. And not only because they were beautiful, certainly we had beautiful girls in our high school, but we were slightly more chaste. So very libertine. So Is this sort of a piece of that culture? I don't know.
Yeah, well, the thing that gets me about Sweden, and this in particular, is, you know, when I visited Sweden, and when you go to their museums, and when you see the warrior history, because they were a warrior nation.
Yes.
up until really, you know, this last 100 years or so. And of course, we all know about the Vikings. We know about the conquering and the pillaging and all of that that went on. And so that was their heritage. And yet, Alana, you mentioned borders. Sweden essentially were very keen to open their borders to essentially a tsunami of immigration from Northern Africa, which happened in 2015.
Yes, yes.
And Sweden took them all in. So there's no defensive borders going on. So maybe we shouldn't be that surprised, Alana, that therefore they don't even understand the purpose of a military.
No, and I think they live in a quite a rough neighborhood. If you think of, I don't believe Iran is that much of a threat, but certainly there are other, neighboring countries that they might want to be a little bit more serious about men in pigtails with rainbow shoelaces defending them. So there is the practicality of the military, isn't it? And certainly you mentioned the borders. Now they have, I go to The Economist, the British newspaper that covers, unvarnished, it covers the crime in Swedish. It's now the Sweden has a terrible crime and gang shooting and murder thing, whereby they were almost pacifist, ridiculously, placid and peaceful society. So that has changed completely. Of course, The Economist gives you the facts magnificently and then, of course, tells you that it has nothing to do with immigration.
But that's where they're wrong, because I remember being in the Swedish city of Malmo, and Malmo, Alana, has got atrocious levels of crime, and Malmo also has the highest level of immigration. So I'm afraid, you know, Malmo is not the sort of place you would venture out at night if you were indigenous Swedish, I suspect.
And quite a few mosques.
And quite a few mosques, yeah.
Yes.
And so it looks to me like Sweden hasn't been prepared, and the political class and the establishment isn't prepared to defend its borders. In fact, it has invited in people who don't seem to have any synchronicity with Sweden, which I find really strange. So isn't it inevitable, therefore, that what you do is you get a military rallying behind not the Swedish flag but the rainbow flag?
I don't know where to start. I mean, but what is the role of the military? The military, yeah. I would say, I think, and we've been over this in another one of our quite fiery YouTubes about loss of steroids in the military. Certainly the American military, and Sweden is on par. At least we do have a fighting force, I think, that is still quite capable. But what kind of fighting force is this? And for me, David, I would look at the individual. I would not ban people based on their sexual orientation, although you would have to because biology dictates that. I mean, but what were the tribe, the Amazonian women? They were as good as men, as tall and as strong. So if you get gay ladies who do not introduce sexual tension into the military, which is the end. It just turns the military into a welfareate and a whorehouse, which is what's happening stateside. But if you get ladies who can really fight and do what the strongest of men do, then fine. But as to the sexuality issue, when did we, our institutions, become a place where you display everything that is private, whether it's het or homo? I'm for everybody go back in the closet. Stop screwing, stop the fornicating, stop coming out with who you are. And that goes for heterosexuals who are carrying on like extremely promiscuously in the military. The military is, well, we have now uniforms for ladies that are pregnant, right? So everybody go back into the closet and start defining public institutions in terms on the continuum of, not on a continuum, actually, it's an either or. Okay, if there is a Christmas party, which we used to have in old-fashioned corporations before they became big tech, atomized and alienating, we used to have Christmas parties. Okay, bring your partner, whether it's a man or a woman or something in between, fine. That's when you come with your partner and everyone says hello and is polite. Otherwise, your bloody sexuality, stick it in the closet.
Totally agree. And that is the problem, Alana, that we have. The private matters have been driven relentlessly into the public sphere. And then the public sphere is all about then settling over them and then sort of propagating them. Like you, I couldn't care, certainly from a military point of view, I'm not remotely interested in someone's sexuality. I want to know, if we go into battle, can they do the things, the military things that are required? That's all I care about. But that's becoming a kind of, that's typified as an extremist view. But surely it's a centrist view.
It's reactionary. They would say we are reactionaries, and I would embrace that. I am a reactionary, but I think it is decent. It is libertarian in the sense that I have nothing to say about your sexuality. It belongs not in the boardroom, but in the bedroom, whether you are, heterosexual or homosexual, or you, David, are an expert on all the other genders.
78 other ones. We haven't enough time.
One of the other ones, I was trying to figure out how a male can, for our next segment, how a male can menstruate, but you'll apprise me of that. Everything back in the closet. We have a decent society where you respect everybody's choices. That's why I guess I would differ from conservatives who begin to disease, who say these people are diseased, blah, blah. If I don't have to fund this, if this is not pushed on school children, if you are a school child struggling with sexuality, there's nothing wrong with struggle. It made the best of people. Don't convert school kids. Let them figure it out with their parents in the privacy of their homes, with their medical practitioners, and they will figure it out, but leave the pedagogues, the poisonous pedagogues, the progressives in the military, in the schools, in government, leave them out of this. Desexualize our institutions, return to the culture of privacy. And that's the most noble and best way to do things, I think.
No, I entirely agree. But unfortunately, rather than desexualizing things, they're uber sexualizing things.
Exactly.
It's actually going the other way. And it's, as you said, Alana, and this is why it's a serious subject, it's right across the institutions, isn't it? I mean, we've just selected the Swedish military, but which institution has escaped this? And we're going to come on to talk about academia in California in a minute or two, but I would suggest that this is being pushed everywhere like a toxin going across the establishment. And I object to that, because if I have to pay for it, that bothers me enormously. Why should my taxes go to support these things? I don't agree with them.
If other people, David, when the kids, I see some of the online comments, one of the comments on the Swedish websites with something. Do you realize that younger generations see you as dinosaurs? Nobody listens to you anymore, wrote some hip generation, millennial or Z, Generation Z, whatever they call themselves when they are sub-intelligent and young. Well, fine, but nobody, and that includes school, has taught you young people to think about government. What is the role of government? Is the role of government to unleash sexuality, to enable those, or is that the role of private institutions? Your church, have a debate with the church whether you can wed same-sex, etc. Leave it to the private institutions, and let's go back. Let's be reactionary when it comes to public institutions.
Well, actually, Alan, completely concur. In the article, I wonder if we can just bring back up the article for 1 second, because there is one thing that really caught my eye in this. And if we can bring it up, and we can just scroll down it, folks, hopefully I can, bit in the middle.
Yes.
This caught me. Did you see this? And for our listeners, the Church of Sweden Diocese proclaims itself trans in an open letter denouncing narrow gender norms. And this is, I presume this is one of the main churches in Sweden. So, I mean, Alana, the collapse of the establishment is staggering to behold. I mean, this is a separate story, so we're not going to go into it in particular. Mm-hmm. But it is symptomatic of the problem, is it not?
Well, actually, it's of a piece, I think, and it's on the same continuum as the story we're discussing.
Yeah.
Why is the church, I guess the church is losing so many, it's becoming more of a, populating pop doctrine rather than serious Christian doctrine.
Yeah.
So it's more pop, just as we have pop psychology. You can see all the toxic YouTubes online where people follow pop psychology and it does devastating things, and the same thing with pop Christianity. This is not Christianity. I never like to look at motives. Why are they doing this? Why are they breaking down doctrinaire Christianity? I understand there are issues where you have to move a little bit. Contraception is a big issue, so on and so forth. Especially in places where you can't afford to feed your children. That's a legitimate debate. But sexuality, okay, we love everybody. Come and we will, bless you and include you in the community of the worshippers. But why this political statement? Why on earth? Any ideas? Explain this to me. Why? The same thing in synagogues. The only denominations that are not doing this but will be pushed to do this by foreign intervention are the Muslim good for them, right?
I completely agree.
Here you find our people, our neoconservatives and our meddlesome sorts, even our conservative feminists, always shouting at the Muslims, oh, you're not pro-female, you're not this, you know that. Yes, there are serious problems like genital mutilation child marriages are serious issues of rights. Those are negative rights, the rights not to be harmed, not to be sold into slavery, so on and so forth. But this kind of thing, gender issue, I wonder when our ladies on Fox News will start saying, oh, well, you have to, the Muslims are not open to transgender and binary people.
But it does make
it's
me
still think. Very, still very muscular culture, isn't it? Even in faith, Islam.
Oh, Islam is, yeah. And that, whilst there are lots of issues, shall we say, and you've touched on some of them, Alana, But I can at least respect that. I can respect that. And that's why people like you and I probably do differ from lots of mainstream conservatives in how we approach these things. And a good thing too, and I hope our listeners and viewers share our approach in this. I can respect Islam for sticking to the tenets of Islam. I have no idea what the Church of Sweden is about, Alana. I really don't.
What is it? Is it Catholic, Protestant? What is the Church of Sweden?
It may as well be the Church of Abba, because seriously, I don't know. I saw that in the article and my eyes fixed on it, and I thought,
same.
Sweden's lost, folks. Sweden is lost if this is the way they go. And this is maybe decades of the political establishment there collapsing upon itself, fed by a fetid media and all the rest of the usual culprits, Alana. But
that, you said, yeah. Fetid media also a very feminized government, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Highly. I mean, don't they have a female prime minister or president? And the cabinet, it's all females. It's all... as we see in America, the tyranny, if you look on them, we've mentioned this before, we've discussed this, whether it's on media or schools or everywhere, pushing COVID tyranny. And I take COVID seriously, I do. But the tyranny, the difference between choice, the difference between corralling you into coercive vaccination, not opening schools, doing this, it's driven by women. We are we want our way.
Well, you see, right? Alana, this could be a conversation for another time, but sometimes I wonder if giving women the vote was did it really work out that well? But we'll hold that one.
I have to know, in 2015 I said that if I could be guaranteed that females would be denied the vote, I would give up my own vote.
Well, again, we
absolutely right.
We think alike.
I think it's John Lott. He did some research, but obviously out of an Ivy League, but it wasn't published, to show that American, as females gained the franchise, so states began socializing, increasingly socializing, and also authoritarianism. Think about prohibition, right?
But if you take the Nordic states, you know, Finland, Sweden, Denmark, all those, that region, there's a very, very strong feminization at the top of their political strata. And, yes. And that is proving extraordinarily destructive and toxic and nihilistic, actually. You know, and you're right about Sweden. I think they do have pretty much an all-female senior level of government. Yeah, and do you remember, did you see the picture of them when they went to Iran? They visited Iran. And they all put on their veils. They all stood there. And it was...
Better that we don't see them.
I prefer my Swedes like Agnetha, and I don't want to think about the ones that went to Iran. But anyway, it's interesting, Alana, though, that females in power doesn't really lead to very good results, and we've seen that in the States as well. You know, if we ever get a President Harris, it will be most interesting to see how that one works out.
Having watched Joe Biden, I think we do probably have a President Harris.
Yes, I think you're right, yeah.
But the same thing, you know, females, I mean also females with a chromosome Y, because so many men can see that in order to stay popular, they have to adopt, they have to defer to the ladies who are wearing the pants. And look at Seattle, it's run by females. And it's absolutely run into the ground now. It's a beautiful city. I used to love going on the weekend to Seattle, to the fish market and to the antique stores. And we don't go there any longer.
Yeah.
Sad.
I mean, look at Chicago with the female, the Beetlejuice lookalike mayor that they got there, is it? I mean, again, you
is
know,
that Lori Lightfoot or Lighthead?
Yeah, her, yeah. So you know, so when we look at the Nordic countries, which are heavily feminized in terms of politics, it's the results are real. The outcomes are bad. And here's the bit I don't understand, and maybe you can enlighten me in this. Why do you think that the men in these countries sit back and go along with it? Because I couldn't.
You know, I think that if not for the state, and here my libertarianism has to kick in, the state has incrementally made it impossible for men, and the corporate state as well, the deep tech, which is just as powerful if gaining up on the state. But I think once, you know, if you just do a market society, you would have males naturally rising. It would be a patriarchal society, because if you noticed the unemployment figures after COVID, the status society complained women were laid off. Women are bearing the burden of this. But yep. That's because men were probably, despite the absolute disenfranchisement and abuse of men in our society, men were still occupied in those professions that were sustained throughout the epidemic, especially high tech is mostly male, so on and so forth.
So, Alama, so would you say then that, you know, statism is essentially the thing that is the kind of the cancer, the toxic center of what's causing this for these problems that we're seeing, you know, in Sweden, but beyond that, across the world?
Yes, because you're empowering and you there's a natural order, and the natural order usually sees a patriarchal society where men are leaders. But when you use the state to disenfranchise people, that look, I'm a female and I regard myself on par with a male, but not everybody. I think, you know, not to be arrogant, but certain females, I don't think it's I don't think I'm the average.
No, you're certainly not.
Okay, can I say that? All right.
You can. You most definitely can.
At my age, some self-esteem is earned. Anyhow, so I think in a non-stated, in a private property-based society, you would see the natural order prevail, the natural aristocracy, the best and the brightest. Males would be the society would be patriarchal, as we've always seen. Of course, we always want a genteel and polite individual-based society where the best come to the top, be they male or female. But when you say, why are males going along with it? Because there are sediments of laws and statism that ensures that if males say, well, wait a second, Laurie Lightfoot is an imbecile, that they will never speak again in polite society, thanks to laws. And of course, I think that this is a subject for another segment. I think WASP males are particularly meek. I don't think that Muslim males or Jewish or Israeli males are so eager to cede power. But I think the genteel WASP male is very meek and quiet, and has been quite complicit in this whole empowering the weakest, the least able. So this is why you're seeing societies that are crumbling like black holes upon themselves, upon the weight of this feminization of the society, enabled by statism. How do you see it? I mean, does that make sense?
It completely makes sense to me. Completely makes sense. And if I can just, for me, there's nothing wrong with a patriarchal society. I think there's lots to be feared from a matriarchal society, in particular one like the ones we've been talking about, where, but it's totally loaded against the men. But then I blame the men. Men should be much more assertive. Nobody wants these weak men that you've talked about there, that they are participating in their own destruction. And in a way, that doesn't bother me. I couldn't care less about them, but they're destroying our society in the process.
Exactly. They are males. I call them males, females with a Y chromosome. They are, you know, females by any other name, except they do have the Y chromosome. It is a disgrace, absolutely a disgrace. And you see that on the border, on the topics of the border, they won't say anything. On the topics of females that are just performing so poorly and leading the country into such illiberal, you know, the COVID is really run by females. You see it we've discussed this many times. It is female anchors, riling, pitchfork sort of frenzy against the unvaccinated, and whatever you think about the fact, this is not the mindset, the mentality of males, I find that after having female doctors, I've always gone back to male doctors. They are capable of transcending themselves. They are not so preoccupied with themselves. They're not so solipsistic. They're far more rational. So myself, as a female with, a manly mind, some readers have often said to me, "Well, we thought you were a man." I guess it's not the way I look, hopefully, but the way I write. I appreciate the manly mind, and I think that when you disenfranchise men, as you've pointed out, society collapses, absolutely collapses. That's what we're seeing.
Yeah.
Well, but David, we can have rainbow-colored shoelaces on army boots.
Okay. My only response to that, bearing in mind, this was about Sweden, we started talking. All I can say, Alana, is mamma mia to that. And all the ABBA fans will know what I'm driving out there. Listen, Alana, we've come to the end of our time. It always passes too quickly. But listen, thank you very much, Alana, for talking us through these complex issues, actually, because they are quite deep. And I hope, those of you who watch this and those of you who listen, I hope you found this an enjoyable chat. Make sure you hit the subscribe button to our various platforms so you can get updates on the material that we're putting out. And apart from that, I will thank you again, Alana. Thanks, everyone, for being part of this.
Thank you for being my partner on this journey, David.
Totally my pleasure. Thanks, Alana. That's it from us, folks. Good night, everyone. Catch up soon. Bye-bye.